Okay, privileged man. Like, I wish.
I might be privileged, but that's gross. Like, I don't know about you, but there's this thing called splashback. Like, if you're sitting there peeing and you're not controlling where it's going, there's a possibility that that pee stream could hit the toilet and then bounce back on your toothbrush and you've been brushing with, like, gross.
Yeah.
Welcome, applauders, to this month's podcast. I am Sean Hall.
I'm Naomi McQuaid.
I'm Jen McQuaid.
And I'm Lydia Malcolm. And you know what movie we're doing because you clicked on the thing, but I don't.
You don't? You didn't click on the thing?
No, they clicked on the thing. Lydia didn't click on the thing. Applauders, this is because Jen, through her work, got us screeners to a movie called Man Baby. And Lydia had to work that night, so it was Sean, Jen, and myself in a theater, the Central Theater in Seattle, for this indie, soon-to-be classic.
Worldwide premiere.
Yes.
I would like to quickly just account for you that this had nothing to do with my work.
Oh.
Like, I know we've discussed this a couple of times.
I keep messing it up. We can cut this all out.
No, just so that we move forward with the story of how this happened. We, shockedandapplaud@gmail.com, got an email saying, hey, would you like to come to our premiere? And I said, yeah. And then it was like a dinner theater sort of deal. So we were enjoying some drinks and coffee. And Naomi asked me, like, how do we know this person? And
yeah, I messed this up socially.
And what's his name?
Terry?
Terry?
Terry.
You sure it's Terry?
I'm pretty sure it's Terry.
Okay. Well, you said, Terry, do you know Jen? And he said, no, no. And then she's like, well, that's Jen. And
okay, look.
You know Jen now.
So the problem is that what people mistake for social confidence is me moving blindly forward. And that's what happened. And that's when we met the director, who Jen only knew, not actually knew at all, through somebody who reached out to us through Twitter?
Email.
How do they know?
Email on the website. They submitted a thing on the website.
Yeah, but like, how do they know about Shock and Applaud?
He mentioned when we spoke to him that there was somebody else, another podcaster, and they might have been on the Frolic Network.
Oh.
And so he was just clicking around and he saw us. And I don't even remember what the other podcast was. I think it might have been a true crime thing. But anyways, and it's to be fair. The last time that we did an independent film, it was because of a coworker who suggested us to their PR person.
Okay, so my wires are often crossed, but we ended up in Seattle at this premiere, and it was a fun night.
It was. I have to admit, though, the last time I went to this particular theater, I got food poisoning and ran out of the theater and was throwing up outside.
Oh, that's right.
Which was kind of made me uncomfortable being like, oh, hey, we're going back to that theater that has my vomit outside.
Nobody remembers.
Like, I know. Nobody remembers. But I did find out that Madeline is a sympathetic vomiter.
Oh, hi, Maddie. Mm-hmm. The last time I was at this theater, I was at a Doctor Who burlesque show, might have been Tank Girl. Did we see Tank?
That was Tank Girl. I got the food poisoning and ran out. But we did do the Doctor Who burlesque, but that was before.
Yeah. So I guess I was with you at the Tank Girl show.
Maybe.
Yeah, I stayed in the theater while he went outside to puke.
I do remember the burlesque because scarves are sexy, and I don't know where she kept that sonic screwdriver.
Yeah. True story.
Should we insert a joke about being bigger on the inside here?
No, we already did that when we were on Collateral Cinema's Spice World episode.
It's true.
Feel free to yell at them for us not winning that debate.
The Spice Bus is bigger on the inside.
True story.
But it only holds 5 girls.
Okay.
Yeah. Everyone else is women.
The little sign said maximum capacity 5 girls.
As in Spice Girls. So what I can get from this backstory is that there was a dinner theater. Was there a large man baby mascot?
No, there was a standee. I think we got a picture with. We could put that on the socials.
Was it like a cardboard cutout?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of the main actor dressed like his man baby character.
Yes.
Okay.
Adult diaper and all.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's start with, since plotters, if you haven't heard Shock Talk or had, if you're new to the podcast, you might not be familiar with Sean. He's our resident fact checker, resident genius. And he generally gives us like a pile of facts that help edify us about the film we're going to see. But because this is so new, because it's so independent, there's not a lot of structure around it. So I'm interested to hear what facts Sean has for us today. But first, his little theme song that goes...
Sean Facts!
Sean Facts!
All right. Hey, that was kind of cool. I like that. I'm going to laugh. Okay. So Man Baby came out in 2022. It is unrated. And I had a hard time finding facts for this because it's so new. But I did find that it apparently had a budget of about $8,000, much of which was raised via a Kickstarter campaign. But the cool thing that I did find was actually delivered to us during the Q&A after the movie, in which someone asked the director to recount his trials and how they got to where they were going. Because apparently we found out it took 10 years to get this movie made from start to finish.
10 years.
Yeah, so he started out saying 10 years ago, he worked in adult films.
Not surprising.
Yeah, the director did. He specialized in paraphilic infantilism films.
What is paraphilic?
I will read that for you in just a minute.
Okay.
Apparently, he said made a lot of money on it, and he thought that that would make a good idea for a movie, so he wrote a movie about it.
Because he knows that there's already a base for it.
Yeah. There's
look
already a base
on Lydia's
for it.
Face.
paraphilic infantilism, also known as autoneophobia, psychosexual infantilism, and adult baby syndrome, is a sexual fetish that involves role-playing a regression to an infant-like state. Behaviors may include drinking from a bottle or wearing diapers. Diaper fetishism.
Applauders. Lydia, you know this. I'm just going to reiterate this. A hard line for us on this podcast is sexualizing children. So we're going to take just a second to reiterate our stance that we are, in terms of what Sean just described, consenting adult people making adult decisions that are that are baby-ish with absolutely no children involved. We would never support the sexualization of children. And you can put that on my tombstone.
Feel free to look at what was it? Collateral Cinema asked us to do Bolero. Yeah. We talk about
and there's
that
a young
lot.
And there's a youngin lady
there's
in there.
There's a youngin in there. And I'm like, so, okay. But they are in this fetish. It is adults who are consenting. And that is completely different than children who cannot consent.
Correct.
And I would also like to point out that he used that base to make this movie, but went away from it. There's very little actual sexualization of man baby in this movie.
I would say that there's none.
Yeah, there's none. Not at all. He just took that as a base. So some people got mad at him. He said he'd get like comments from the community going, why are you making a movie that makes fun of us? And he's like, it's a comedy. Although the interesting part was that the main actress said she still regularly gets Facebook DMs from fetishists from France saying, hey, would you like to be my mommy?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that's why we have blocking. Mm-hmm. That's why you can block people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So so that are some Sean facts that I have.
It definitely seems a little bit like I mean, if I was a part of this community wanting to be taken seriously, and then I see this movie coming out that is supposed to be a comedy that, you know, is making fun of the community that I want to be a part of, I could see why they would be frustrated by it.
I mean, if you were in that community, you would feel a lot of the same way that other people feel about maybe like cross-dressing. I'm not speaking of like transgender persons, but right. people who include cross-play in their sexual endeavors mm-hmm. or people who, I mean, like, here's the thing, in terms of kink, like, you can go almost anywhere mm-hmm. depending on consent, and consent has been key since ground zero for us in terms of like what you're willing and wanting to do, and that takes two people or more apparently depending on your contract. But DMing this lady, she doesn't want it, that's not consent.
Right.
That's not cool. The man playing man baby knew what he was getting into, specifically a diaper on film, and was going to be judged thusly. Knew the director, knew the history.
I would hope that everybody who is potentially watching this, who is a part of that community, would listen to anybody who says, nope, I'm out. And hopefully that would become enough public knowledge that she wouldn't get DM'd as much.
Mm.
Like, do your research. You know?
This is obviously not, I mean, from watching it, and hopefully by the time we get done describing it, you'll see it is not a kink film.
Right.
We've watched many things that kind of lean into a sexuality, but to reiterate, Sean, there's no, especially, and the sex in the film has nothing to do with him as the man baby.
I would say it's more about like mothering and fertility and having a family and being pregnant than it is about fetishes with diapers and you know, age regression kind of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And the little bit that I know about the film, I was not getting that feeling from it at all.
No, you wouldn't. But if you walked in wanting your kink to be shown in a positive light, this is not that film.
Yeah.
And so, do you have another fact for us?
Oh, no, that was it. I was done.
Okay, that's cool. So, Lydia, are you prepared?
No, let's go ahead and
dive
in.
Do you
want
to do some deep breathing exercises before we start?
I am like Lamaze? Sorry, yeah. I was just thinking back to your comment about like what people mistake as social confidence is actually just me blindly walking into it.
That's what you got to do.
So that, I think we should just blindly go into it.
Okay. I am going to interrupt and just say that before the movie actually started, the theater had several very fine and old movie trailers that they were showing for upcoming films, including a really creepy 9 to 5 trailer that had nothing to do with the movie. Like, it was a 9 to 5 trailer, and it showed like people's heads walking around an office. And then at the end, it showed like a picture of the actors. And I was like, could you not get the actors to do a trailer? Like, meh. Anyway, digression done. They had a trailer for Grease. And in the middle of the trailer for Grease, there's a guy behind me that suddenly screams out, "Rip Olivia Newton-John!" And I'm just like, I know they're serving alcohol. I know some people are rowdy, but I'm like, who is this jerk screaming behind me? And I turn around and I don't recognize him. So I'm like, oh, he's probably just having a good time. One of the backers, maybe he's a producer. Maybe he's like a key grip on the film, just enjoying himself. Come to find out that was the main actor. He didn't get any quieter throughout the movie either.
I'm so lucky he wasn't right behind me. I would have turned around and glared at him.
Well, and then the director sat right in front of me, and he's kind of bald, so he's got this little like glean, and I'm just sitting there going, oh my God, if I don't laugh when he thinks I should laugh, he's going to turn around and stare at me and be like, who the hell are you not to laugh at my masterpiece?
If I ever make a movie and it is a swoosh swoosh comedy, nobody should ever see that as a masterpiece, because I am one of the most unfunniest people in the world.
I think you're hilarious.
Thank you. My face is hilarious.
No, I mean your humor is hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
The director was very nice, and I did laugh at the appropriate times just in case.
I however, because we're in a dark theater and I'm trying to take notes, like I write my, like, I couldn't have had like a tablet or a laptop or whatever. So I have my regular standard notebook, and I scribble 20 pages of notes in the dark. And I went to reread them today, and they are illegible. And so we had to rewatch and take notes again today. You can find this on Vimeo if you want to pay to watch it. And you might do that.
I'll post a link.
Okay. if we entice you with our explanation. We're hoping to do a fairly quick podcast today, but you know how we do. So strap in, lids. You're about to go down the rabbit hole.
Yay!
This is the first time that we've had a member of Shocked and Applaud not have any idea what she's getting into.
It's also the first guest appearance with our researcher, Sean Hall.
Yay! That comes at the end,
hello,
guys.
Hello.
That comes at the end.
Yeah.
We're not at the end?
No. Nope, we're just starting. Hey, you know what we should start this film with, Sean?
Sounds of a bar.
Well, yes. There's a clattering, clinkety, loud noise. It's
in a black screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we should start with like a quote from like a medical journal.
Okay.
And I didn't write it down.
Oh, the American Psychiatric Association reports that every year, approximately 32 men will trick their wives into motherhood with an elaborate, bizarre ruse, care of Gideon Study 2018. This film is dedicated to them.
So trick in an elaborate scheme. I mean, this has to be a fake quote.
I don't know. Did anyone look that up?
I don't even know if Gideon's real. I mean, like, I know the book in the Bible is real, but like, I don't.
It said Gideon Study, and then I was like, oh, I should look that up. And then I didn't.
Well, we'll leave it up to the applauders to look it up. Leave us a comment or send us an email if you think that's a real story. Because if that is, you know, tricking someone into having a baby when they don't want it is, you know, wrong.
I think the study are wrong because I think there's more than 23 men that would 32 men that would do that. I mean,
it was also elaborate. A very heteronormative way of saying it, to trick their wives, not partners or spouses or whatever.
I want to know what an elaborate ruse is scientifically. If it's more than just having your mother gaslight you into motherhood, is it like
I mean, is it
thing where you like make balls roll down and then like they hit a little fan and then the fan chops the cheese and the cheese falls to the mouse and the mouth.
It's
a Rube Goldberg machine.
Yes. Who Rube Goldbergs their wife into having a baby?
I mean, an elaborate scheme. I mean, it could just be easy as like, yeah, sure, I wore a condom. Da-dum-bum.
Oh, that's so horrible though.
I hate that.
That's like,
I hate that so much.
Oh, consent. Consent here.
Okay.
That's what I immediately went to when you said that elaborate, like, and then they say it elaborate, and I'm like, you're trying to justify.
I know you're on birth control. Why don't you take these antibiotics and then we'll smash?
I think elaborate maybe involves somebody else. Like, hey, if I could pay you to be like dwarves and run around the house and say I got you high or something, I don't know.
So, I saw a dwarf, so I had to have unprotected sex.
That
is another film that Terry probably made at some point in his career. I call this Baby Trap, not a sequel to Parent Trap.
It's a prequel.
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
You have to have a baby trap before you can have a parent trap.
Yeah. Okay, so this is also the production. I believe he called it Grandpa Universe. That gets explained at the end of the film. So, Grandpa is super cute. It's spelled Grampaw, like Grandpa, and it's so cute. And it's got this. I like the logo. It's the old man logo. It's pretty cute. So now we go into a man baby stand up routine. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate his comedy?
Carrot Top.
There's a stand-up routine?
That's where it all begins.
What?
His whole bit is being a man baby. And he's just like, I told my wife I wanted some breast milk. And she was like,
let's be friends.
Oh, yeah. He says it to his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be friends. I gave it a 2 out of 10.
He's doing this.
He's doing this in a nightclub.
Okay. So
he's got a bonnet on, a giant diaper. He's got an oversized rattle.
Yeah.
And everyone is laughing so hard.
I couldn't deal with that. It's like prop comedy, the lowest form of comedy.
Sir, I've seen Carrot Top live, and it's pretty good.
I'm sorry.
I didn't hate it. I didn't even mind the drunk people behind me being like, ah! Like, It's a pretty, he looks like a gremlin and he's got funny props. Like it's pretty good. I would give him, I've seen more than a handful of comedians. I would give him a solid 6.5 out of 10. Wow. I was sober at the time. So like, yeah, 6.5, 7 out of 10.
But you give this guy 2 out of 10.
2 out of 10 just because he is like dressed as the title of the film and you're supposed to laugh and like supposed to laugh. Like I'm going to pretend that you're not really funny.
I didn't even dress myself today.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Like, I get it.
The bum rap was probably the best joke of them all.
Yeah,
I actually wrote...
He gets a bum rap because his bum is rap because he's a baby.
I actually wrote bum rap on my notes.
Yeah.
Oh, fart jokes, because those always get a laugh. Hold on, let me fart into the mic.
So he stumbles home with his best friend, Ray. I'm going to assume she's his best friend.
I didn't get her name till like the very end. I just kept on writing down gross lesbian because she always talked about poop.
I don't know if this is a slur, but I call her D friend.
So I was on Tumblr because I am a Tumblr goblin.
Okay.
And I saw a meme where someone called Dick Van Dyke genital von slur.
Oh, okay. So maybe I won't call Ray that at all.
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Bleep it. Feel free to bleep it. Some women have reclaimed the word, and obviously, like, if I fall into it, I'm lesbian light, so it's hard to be like, you know, use that word. Like, but she's a very masculine presenting woman, and they do gender her later in the film, female pronouns. So she's awesome. Leather jacket, very greaser type. So like shaved on the head, like shaved on the sides, and like greaser hair in the on the top. And she just stumbles around with him drunk, like takes him home from the bar where they stumble into the party that she's having with her mom, the priest. Is the doctor there, I think, too?
Is he still in his costume from the stage?
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Okay. And he sits down and he like sniffs a glass of wine and he's like, ah, and he laughs really hard. And she's obviously mortified. Like she covers her head with her hands. Oh, and I realized that, and I wrote this down before we talked about it while we were introing this, but it's like the Who Framed Roger Rabbit intro. Like it's so like, you know, when the cartoon that intros the cartoon where he's like trying to take care of the baby, and it's not quite so slapstick, but it's very much like there's a baby and he's causing a ruckus. Ba-na-na-na-na.
All this, there's no dialogue. We're still having his show being played over the top.
Yeah,
so the whole thing is like pantomimed and with like laugh track on the background, which is weird.
Yeah, it felt weird.
That is a very interesting technique, though. Like, mm-hmm. Imagine if you had someone who was like giving a speech about like something that was actually weighty and heavy, like climate change, and then they have to like go or more importantly, like human rights, and they have to make this big speech, but then they have to go on about their day and they still have to live their life. That could actually be a very interesting technique.
They have some questionable auditory overlays throughout the film.
Okay, so maybe it's not a good choice. Maybe it's just an accidental choice.
It just feels loud.
Okay.
And it's fine. He's still got the clamor of the crowd, and so he thinks he's still acting okay, and she's obviously annoyed. And then like Ray's looking at a fish, and then she gets ushered out of the house, and then
title credits.
Yeah, somewhere
says
in there.
Man baby, and then it's I put man baby with babies and babes because it's like he's standing up there like James Bond in his bonnet and a diaper.
Yes.
And like being draped with like these women in like black bikinis.
They cut to a publicity photo and there are two women on their knees like reaching up at his pot belly, and like he's got a cigar in his mouth, and it's very much like that stupid baby from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Baby, right. Herman. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she's annoyed with him. They're standing in the kitchen. He's like, I'll do the dishes. And then she's like, she goes to bed, but she leaves all the lights on. And then he's like, he does the dishes, apparently. He's brushing his teeth, and then he like, buona, buows into the bedroom.
Can I point out that he's brushing his teeth and peeing at the same time?
Okay, privileged man. Like, I wish.
I might be privileged, but that's gross. Like, I don't know about you, but there's this thing called splashback. Like, if you're sitting there peeing and you're not controlling where it's going, there's a possibility that that pee stream could hit the toilet and then bounce back on your toothbrush, and you've been brushing with, like, gross.
Yeah.
That's you do one thing and then you do another.
Fecal plume is what they say in a...
I don't have a penis. But the first time I heard you say that, I was like, oh, that's gross. So thank you for validating the fact that, like, if I was sitting on the toilet peeing, I would not brush my teeth as a woman.
Yeah, I wouldn't, only because if I accidentally choked on the, like, if I gagged on the toothbrush, what would I do?
Yeah.
Like, so. I mean, like, you know, you can, like, pee and pluck your nose hair if there's a mirror above the toilet. Or, like, do other things. But, like, brushing your teeth is just, it's gross.
Great.
I feel that way about people who brush their teeth in the shower. I just can't do it. Like, all your bits and pieces are out there. Like, just swishing around, getting, like, foggy. And, like, you're supposed to brush your teeth in that? No.
Well, everything goes down. That's the way I feel. Like, you know, the water hits
it
down.
It plumes up, too, though. You've got a lot of spray going on. And it's going to end up on your toothbrush.
I mean, I wouldn't brush my teeth in the shower either.
But I know plenty of people who enjoy it. They super love it.
I mean, keep, like, so long as you're controlling the plumes.
And it's not like the people I know who do brush their teeth in the shower have, like, any higher incidence of pink eye or friggin' thrush or whatever. So, like, do you. It's merely an opinion.
We have yet to reach past the first scene.
Okay, so she's in bed. He climbs in. He's like, she's obviously annoyed. And then it turns into a conversation where he's just like, let's have kids. And she's like, I told you I don't want a baby.
I would also like to point out this time he came in singing In the Year 2525, which you were like, is that a real song? And Jen's like, oh, it's about robots in the future.
No, he said robots in the future. But oh, okay. It is a real song from 1969. It's like one hit wonder thing. And then, like, there are three verses, and every time they just skip ahead like another 1,100 years or whatever. So it's like in the year 2525, and then it's, I don't know, the
2035. That's how counting by five.
No, but it's 35. Yeah.
Oh, 35.
And then 45 and 55.
My brain only goes to the old Conan O'Brien bit in the year 2000.
Mm-hmm. It's really all about, like, it's a song about how we'll still need love in the future or something like that.
Gross.
But it's weird.
Can we take a minute, since this guy's topless like 9/10 of this movie?
Oh, 99% of the time.
Yeah.
Honestly.
No shirt. Can we talk about his tattoos for a minute? Like, can we just take like a Sean break and talk about,
as the most tattooed person in the room, I have so many tattoos at this point. And I have been occasionally accused of being a little vapid. Like, I'm a little whimsical with my shits. But this guy's tattoos hurt, and all of them are real.
Yeah, he took his shirt off at the premiere to show us.
Yeah, he has his name on his arm.
Yep, his name is Asa, A-S-A, and he's got it on his arm. Yeah. No, the actual actor's name, not the character's name, the actor's name.
Right, and then he has a stick figure man.
A coat of arms with stick figures.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, a coat of arms of.
Yeah, I didn't see, it's just stick figures in like the four corners of a coat of arms.
He's got a large black tattoo on his back shoulder, and I never caught really what it is.
It looked like a dragon to me.
It kind of looked like big black birds to me. There's no way to know unless you watch the film, Lydia. Again, we'll give you the link.
A sunshine fun care bear down around his underpaunch.
Oh, I was hoping it would be a tramp stamp.
No. But
and
I point out this one. Go ahead, Jen.
John 15:15.
Yeah, he has a Bible tattoo on him.
Do any of you know what that verse says?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And he sort of like skirted the issue when people asked him about it. He's a Quaker.
Okay.
So it's a very prominent quote. It's the one that, taken completely out of context, if you're not a Christian, you hear that and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Which is...
Could you hear the Protestant roll through this room real hard just there for a second?
It's the one where he says that I no longer call you bond servants or slaves it depends on what translation, but I no longer call you slaves, but friends, basically. It's right after they wash each other's feet.
Oh. That's a good part.
Yeah.
I like that part.
It's like trying to take people from this place of servitude and putting them into a place of equality.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what Jesus is trying to do. Of course, like, there's a lot. Anyways, not going to go into it.
It could get complicated. This movie only has two Bible verses in it. That's one of them.
But it has two.
Yeah. Do you know that Dr. Doofenshmirtz quote that's just like, you know, if I had a nickel for every time that happened, I'd only have like two nickels, but it's really surprising that it happened twice.
Yes.
Was that a Phineas and Ferb reference?
Yes.
I follow I follow Dan Povenmire on like two different social media accounts. He's a gem. He really is.
Mm. I love that cartoon only when I realized that Phineas and Ferb looks like the letters F and P. Like the design of their characters with the big nose and the big hair. He's an F and the other one's got pointy. He looks like a P.
Jen bought a transmitter. Jen drives an old van, right? And Jen got a transmitter so we can play our music through the radio. And it's really nice, but it goes, pairing connected. And I go, pairing the platypus like every time. It's so stupid, but my brain will not say it. Okay.
They should make a Bluetooth connector shaped as a platypus.
Yeah. Yeah. For pairing the... Okay. Anyways, she says, I don't want a baby in the middle of this conversation. And my notes go, that's a whole f***ing sentence. You know? There's no like, you don't need to be like, well, honey, what if... Oh, look, couples are going to talk about it. Especially if one person really wants a kid and another person doesn't. Like, you should have these conversations, one, well before you get married.
Agreed.
Especially if it's a deal breaker. And two, if it changes within your marriage, then you should be able to have a conversation. However, if someone's hard and fast on, I do not want... Debating it beyond then is coercion. And what does coercion go against?
Consent.
We are all about consent. She said no. No is a whole sentence in and of itself.
Agreed.
So at this point, instantly, I'm pissed.
All right. Fun story before Naomi gets the pissed. No,
I'm already pissed on. I'm cooling down now.
She, the wife is talking and says her mom does not like her husband at all. Says that she's he's a terrible person who lives off his Baba's trust fund. And he says, she said I was a Marlon Brando-like quality. And she goes, no, she said you had a Stanley Kolzowski-like quality. In which case, I actually genuinely laughed in the theater.
But I didn't get it.
And apparently, neither did the guy behind me. He said, I didn't get that. And that was the lead actor. He didn't get the joke either.
So could you, and you know, they're always so much better when you have to explain them. What is that joke?
It's a Streetcar Named Desire joke.
Okay.
The main character, Stanley, was played by Marlon Brando.
Okay.
Stanley in the movie is a brute, a loud, lunk-headed kind of guy that just takes what he wants through the power of his own violence. Not a very nice guy.
Oh, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever watched Streetcar Named Desire.
So what about the other actor, the Stanley?
Marlon Brando? No, Stanley is the character.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, it would be.
So the joke was, is that he thought she was calling him Marlon Brando, like, I'm a great actor. And she was like saying, you're a brute and a dummy. Oaf, like, gorilla, like, yeah.
It was just a little bit out of my reach. I would not have got it without somebody explaining it to me.
You'd have to be, like, a connoisseur of old movies. And I don't think that that's, like, when people talk about old movies, they're talking about Star Wars. They're not talking about A Streetcar Named Desire.
You guys remember that old movie?
Empire Strikes Back?
That sucks.
I watched the 1930s version of Dracula before I came over today.
Oh, that's a good one, though.
Just because I could.
Look, old movies are great. And if you really like movies, then that's a great place to kind of start. So I'm not dissing anybody who does know about that. I'm talking about how, like, it would be, it's kind of a dated reference.
Yeah.
When you think about, like, being accessible to younger audiences. Maybe just starting out in their media.
That's I laughed. I thought it was great.
Yeah, because you.
But the main actor didn't get the joke either. So hey,
right?
Or maybe he was trying to be funny and saying that he didn't get it. I don't know.
His character
maybe.
Definitely didn't get it, and that sold the realism on that for sure.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Okay, So then we cut to him walking. Okay, he's walking down the street and he starts gazing at a baby who's having a great time with his presumably dad, who's got a beard, who looks kind of like our protagonist. And then they're hanging out with a lady who happens to be wearing a lab coat. Oh, by the way, his wife is a scientist.
Right.
So like he just happens to be looking at somebody in a lab coat playing with their baby with a guy with a beard that looks like him. Like, he doesn't have a beard, but like a bigger guy, he looks a little chonky. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So like you could see the correlation of it. And she, the Dana, she's narrating over it. She's, well, maybe not narrating, but she's still having the conversation. She's like, I don't want a kid. It's never the right time. I'm a scientist. I have to focus on my stuff and blah, blah, blah. And he's so sad, and then
he looks at this family and his eyes brighten up, and the dad gives the baby a little Zerbert on the stomach, which is like a raspberry, and he's like, and the baby's like, yay, and he's just like so happy.
And over his shoulder, over our character's shoulder, you do see the second Bible verse, and it is a Psalms 127 verse 3. Oh, I didn't remember. I didn't write it down. I just know that that's where it is.
Oh, I wrote down here my notes.
Okay, what is that one? That one's...
Children are a gift from God.
Second verse, same as the first.
Yeah. Oh, they're not slaves, no. And they're a gift from God. I don't. Those aren't the same verses, but here's Sorry. The thing. We are done with Bible references. Pew, pew, pew.
Whew.
Yeah. Because God didn't want any part of this after this.
Yeah. Now we get to go to one of the first of many different montages I have.
Yeah, this is science montage.
Science montage number one.
There's a guy who's talking in an interview. You see like these little sciencey images coming together, and then an interview with a guy who's the head of the, I don't remember the name of the place.
Howard Endocrinetics, which is where Dana works because her name is Dana Howard and she's the daughter.
And it's a family business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gross.
Like, I can see why she doesn't want kids.
She works with her mom, and her mom is like, did you get those testosterone samples yesterday? Would you work with your mom, like, in a business setting?
Yeah, I would, because my mom's cool.
Your mom's cool?
My mom's super cool. She was like, now, I never thought you'd end up being gay, but I always thought, whatever. And then it turned out a little more true than I thought.
I would never want to work with my parents. I mean, I did do like side jobs when I was a teenager for my dad, but he had to pay me.
Yeah.
Which these were always gigs that he was getting paid for. So he would, you know, give me like a couple of $20.
Yeah. So, I did some filing or something for my mom or whatever. And like, in terms of like just like working like day to day life together, we're pretty good.
Right. I've done like little side things for my dad when I was a kid, like, you know, organizing the invoices for his business and everything, helping out with, you know, building computers. But like, I'm assuming this guy is like at least in his 30s, right?
Dana is a lady. And she is mid-20s, late, early 30s, maybe.
I was getting her confused with the main actor, sorry. But, I mean, in my early 30s, no.
No?
No, I'm not going to work with my parents. I know the kind of they got up to.
this is a sciencey doctor lab coaty environment.
Women in STEM are not really treated very well, so maybe she had to take the job?
I don't know, but they deal with hormones all the time. And that's what's happening.
You know how we know they deal with hormones? Because they keep telling us, these hormones are wrong. I've got these hormones over here. We work with hormones.
Like that is the delivery of it?
Yeah.
Okay, so he is now it's a lot of back and forth. They're covering a lot of ground. And they he's at a show, like the end of the show. He's at the like after party thing where you just like hang out around the bar and whatever. And this lady's like, yeah, you know what? We could get you a show. And I'm like, 2 out of 10 comedy, jokes in a diaper that are jokes, I guess. And he has a chance at a show, like has a show, like to have a show.
Yeah, he says it's going to be on the Comedy Network.
Just the Comedy Network.
Yeah,
you know,
that
one Comedy Network.
I'd also like to point out that it's the after show, and he's hanging out at the bar drinking with like his creepy, gross lesbian friend. And
Ray. Her name is Ray.
And he's still in his diaper and his bonnet.
And he says the line, well, they're like, hey, you should get changed. And he's like, I'm getting a little comfortable in these huggies.
Yeah.
They say you should get changed and the man is wearing a diaper.
Yeah. That is. And okay, so now he's backstage and Sandy comes up behind him and is like,
she'd like to be known as Cersei.
But they misname her throughout the entire thing. Like Cersei, Sandy, Sandy, Cersei. So if we switch them, that's one person. But she comes up behind him and like grabs his man boobs and is just like, ooh, yeah. And he's like, hey.
I'm here for the art.
He's like, I'm married. We can still be friends.
And he puts back on his wedding ring because apparently the illusion is broken for man baby if he doesn't have his wedding ring on the stage.
And she comes in with a puppet. Like, I have like issue. I mean, she just comes in the puppet and goes like, I have ideas for your new show. Here's a puppet. Never brought up again. Like, what's with the puppet?
I don't even remember the puppet.
See?
I've seen it twice. I'm too busy being like, ew.
Creeped out by the fact that she grabbed his nipples.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. Yes. Full groping. Like, no holding back. And he's like, no. And the whole wedding ring thing.
And then, you know what she says? She's like, so what do you want? And he's like, you know what I want? I want to go play pinball.
So then, Cersei, Rey, and I've lost his name off.
Sal.
Sal is like, they're all like leaning in really drunken, like into all these like arcade games.
Yeah, they like skee ball.
They're not actually playing pinball.
Yeah, Rey is like getting like drunkenly at like this game that spins around. You have to hit the button to get the ticket machine
where you like have to stop the light at the right spot.
And they're playing basketball and hoops and they're like, yeah, random montage number two.
No pinball.
At arcade.
But you know what we should do now, Lydia? And I think at this point, you know, we need to go to therapy.
Of course.
So I looked at the therapist's name is Jennifer. Like her in real life name in the credits is Jennifer. And I I don't know why. I just like it. I was like, I don't know why that stuck with me. But hey, Jennifer, the therapist. So it's Sal and Dana. And he's all like, well, you know what the thing is? I want gobs of children. And she's all like, and I don't. And the therapist says, you should have never gotten married. And that's the end of the scene, Lydia.
That's the end of therapy.
That's all the therapy we get in this one.
I feel like that's the thesis of the entire movie.
I mean, like God left the building and now reasonable social expectations has left the building too.
Congratulations, applauder. You've entered into the most significant responsibility that someone can have in their adult life. Listening to us talk about movies. Part one of our review of 2022's Man Baby is complete, but we still have two more parts to release for September. Interested in some more irresistibly questionable cult film discussions? This week, Film Rage is discussing the biopic Thank You Divine. And Wheel of Horror Podcast recently released an episode on The Hills Have Eyes Part 2. Check out links to these episodes in this release's description. Hey, this is your audio engineer and neither a man nor a baby, Jen. Did you know that supporting our female-hosted show is possible using your cold hard cash? Search for Shocked and Applaud on Patreon or click the Support the Show button on shockedandapplaud.com to learn how for $1 per month. We'll be back next week for part two of this independent Pacific Northwest farcical comedy. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.